If you will, I would like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, there's something here that I want to point out that is a little bit of a kind of a different thought when we start talking about Resurrection Sunday. Now, we will eventually get back to the book of 2 Corinthians, but this morning, I do definitely want to talk about our risen Savior. I want to talk about what the resurrection is for us. I want to talk about how that there is something that the resurrection does beyond salvation, that why we have that resurrection that is still at the forefront of our mind and in our hearts. And what we find in Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 38, it says, "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answer, saying, Master, who would see a sign from thee? But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly's whale, or excuse me, the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And Lord, I thank you for the salvation that you brought because of your sacrifice on Calvary. But Lord, the forgiveness of sins, the conquering of death and sin for us through your resurrection. And Lord, I just pray that as we meditate upon that this morning, Lord, as we read the Scriptures, the Lord, you would just use them to comfort us, to guide us, to correct us, and Lord, to build us up in you, that we would glorify, honor, and praise all that you have said and all that you have done for us. And Lord, again, I just thank you so much for those that are here. May we humbly approach this time of worship in a way that pleases you. I ask and pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This passage of Scripture speaks a bit about Jesus Christ's death. And it talks about how he will be in the earth 3 days and three nights. But we know specifically what happens afterwards. And in the reference that we see here, we find that as part of this and part of what went on the cross is a sign to those that are unbelieving. It's a sign to those that are not willing to hear what God has to say. Why? Because they are, as he says, an evil and adulterous generation. They don't want to listen to anything else. And what they do is just evil continually. The end result is that he says, okay, I'm not going to give you any other sign than this one for them to believe. And we know what happened afterwards. We know that the Lord was not in the earth 3 days and three nights, and then he just remains there today. We know that we serve a risen, living Savior that is very different than everything else in the world today. So when we think about this, obviously, yes, we can see those things of salvation that are there. But this morning, believer, I want to talk to you and I want to specifically show you what the Bible says about keeping the resurrection in mind. I think often what we do is we only think about the resurrection kind of this time of year. You know, we should be thinking about the resurrection every single day. We should be thinking about how important the resurrection is to our daily life every single day. Why? Because the resurrection, yes, it is there with salvation for us, but there is so much more in the resurrection that we as believers can have on a day-to-day basis. So what I want us to do is I want us to look at Scripture, and I want us to look at a few points here that specifically show us what the resurrection does. There's five things that I want us to take a look at. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The resurrection provides a great deal of strength and hope for the believer today. It is not just something that we can only think about once upon salvation and then disregard. We need to continue to think on it. Because in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 4, it says this, it says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." Keep that verse in mind and turn over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 19 it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe?" You ever just stop? I just want to stop just for a moment, and I know this is not what necessarily we're going for this morning, but this might be a bit of a bunny trail, but trust me, we'll get right back on the path. But look at it right there. Who is he talking to? He is talking to believers, amen? Now, what does he say is available to a believer? He says right there, very clearly, exceeding greatness of his power. It's not just great power. It's exceeding greatness. Have you ever thought about what exceeds greatness? You ever just sit there and meditate how great God is? We talk about how good God is. We talk about how great God is. How about we talk about exceeding greatness? How do you exceed greatness? I mean, we kind of go through that thing where we have those tiers, right? We've got, it's okay. Yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm good. I'm doing great. We kind of do that, right? We kind of go up there to that part, and then, you know, maybe we might go say, "Hey, well, I'm excellent." But how about something that exceeds that greatness, that exceeds those things? By the way, this is the power that he says is to us that believe. I don't think Christians really understand that. I think a lot of Christians just sit there and think that they've got no power to overcome the things that the Lord has told us to overcome. No power to walk away from sin. No power to necessarily trust in the hope that is there with us. Verse 19, continuing on, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Now look, right there, obviously we understand what took place on Resurrection Day was something that has never happened before. Yes, we know there were resurrections, but not a resurrection like Jesus Christ. Why? All the rest of those people that resurrected, what did they do? They died again. Man, that would stink. Poor Lazarus, he gets up to heaven and he goes, "Whew, I'm not sick anymore." Gabriel comes up to him, "So Lazarus, gonna have to send you back." What? Wait, no. I mean, say that facetiously, but you understand what I'm saying. Jesus Christ did not die after that. Jesus Christ is in heavenly places right now. The tomb remains empty. You can still go find Lazarus' bones. Maybe. But you understand what I'm saying when I say there's no resurrection like Christ. And when we look at this and we understand that, we realize that there is a great deal of power that is there. The resurrection gives us power in our present daily living. You ever struggle with a sin? You ever get a conviction of a sin in your life and you're trying to do your best and let me emphasize, you are trying. Do you realize that you have unlimited resources to deal with that? I really don't think Christians understand that sometimes. I'll tell you this, I didn't understand it when I was young. I didn't understand the fact, you know, when I was wrestling with eternal security, when I was wrestling with stuff that was in my life, all of those things, when I got a hold of the fact that Jesus Christ, His resurrection, shows me that He is capable of doing anything in my life that I need to get done to do His will. To do His will. Look, praise God, we're not stuck here to just try harder. I've heard people that have come to me in counseling and they've dealt with issues before and they've talked about issues in their youth and sometimes they've just received some bad advice. And some pastors and some, you know, youth leaders and some Christian counselors have just told them some stuff that's not biblical. Well, I just don't think you're trying hard enough. I think you just need to try harder. You know, how about tapping into what the Lord has given to us as far as understanding that it is by His resurrection that we have a newness of life. A newness of life. We are not relegated to the sins of our past. We have a different walk. And the Lord enables us to do that, as we see here very clearly from Scripture. You ever heard, we talk about sometimes enabling in a bad sense. With the previous position that I had at work, we enabled people. We were quick, we were efficient. We had a turnaround time of like 0.8 of a day, and the salespeople got so used to that. We enabled a mindset of, well, you guys can turn this around really quickly. No, not every single time. And we tried to manage expectations, but we all were on a meeting one time and we realized maybe we just need to be a little more lazy and slow down. We're enabling a bad behavior. You realize that focusing on what Christ has done with the resurrection is going to enable you to focus on what you have been given to conquer the sin that is in your life? Amen. Like, well, I don't know how to deal with this sin that just keeps coming up. Well, how about you just stop for 5 seconds and say, okay, Lord, let me contemplate Your resurrection. Did He not resurrect for you? Amen. Just like He died on the cross for you. We had those little kids sing that right here. We are without excuse, amen? Sir. We're enabled to live differently. Second thing I want us to look at is over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, what does it say right here? It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The second point that I want us to think about is the resurrection produces a living hope that comes when we go through difficult times. When we're struggling. Now look, we're talking about a prophet this morning. I guess you can take me out and stone me later if I'm wrong. I think all of us have probably pretty much experienced some sort of a trial or tribulation or affliction or problem or let's just issue in our life, right? We've all gone through something. You know, when we sit there and think about it, what hope do we have in those times? What hope did Paul have when he was going through those things? I mean, could you imagine Paul being on a boat where everyone's freaking out, thinking they're all going to die? And Paul's the only one that's sitting there going, I know what's going to happen. Why? Because he doesn't serve something that's dead. You know, one of the greatest things that when we think about that word lively, we're thinking about something that is obviously living, something that is active. And what does it do? It sustains in that life the hope that is eternal. You ever have a hope and it doesn't happen? You ever have a hope where you hand somebody a gospel tract and they're going to tell you they're going to be there on Sunday? And they're not? You ever have a hope of something that they just really isn't going to come? We have a hope because the Lord is the one that is sustaining that hope. The Lord is the one that gives us the life that is in that hope. It's not just wishful thinking. You can't wish your Christian life into existence. It's a resurrection-backed certainty, this hope. If Jesus Christ can be raised from the dead the way he was, do you think when the Lord says, you have hope in him, we have hope in him? So many times, what do? We just sit there and fret, worry. God's begotten us to something new. But God's begotten us to a living, lively hope. This hope is alive because why? Jesus Christ is alive. There is no hope in Muhammad. There is no hope in Buddha. There is no hope in you pick whatever religious guru or what it is that's out there. Look, you know, people put hope in something, right? We put hope in a lot of things. I'll be clear here. There's no hope in Donald Trump. No. If your hope is in Donald Trump, you are misplacing your hope.
Right.
Your hope should only be in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
Donald Trump isn't going to fix this country. Jesus Christ can fix the country.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that to bash him. I'm saying that as a truth. Our lively hope is living because he's alive. A dead Savior gives no hope. A risen one sustains the believer through suffering. That resurrection produces a living hope during those times. Go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4. In 2 Corinthians 4, we can see here in verses 14 through 16, the resurrection assures victory over present suffering. We know that the resurrection sustains us during that time, but it also shows us that there is a victory in that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know what he just said? Starting off knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus was his, what's the thought process? It starts with resurrection. And what does he say? That's how you don't faint. Burnout is a real thing. Burnout in the ministry is a real thing.
Yeah.
People get tired. People are like, nobody really cares. Nobody listens anyways. You know what sometimes is one of the most thankless ministries? The cleaning ministry. Why? Because then you come and you mess it up all over again. They sit there and they polish that porcelain just for you. And then you just go and mess it up. You're like, it happens. It happens at our house. You're like, come on. Look, if our eyes aren't on Jesus Christ, we will lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing.
Right.
And you will burn out.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're trying to sustain it on your own. But I will tell you this, when you see here where he says very clearly, he says, for which cause we faint not. What is the cause? The fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead because the power, the exceeding greatness of his power to resurrect, that right there is what we go back to. Look, I will be transparent. Have I thought about throwing in the towel? Oh, yeah. When I was younger, I was done with religion. I was done with churches. I was done with Baptists. I was done. But when you start thinking about what Jesus Christ has done and the power, well, how can I get over those things? How can I deal with this? How can I deal with that? Well, how about we think about the resurrection? How about we think about the fact that there's the power that we can go back to? Look, the Word of God is right here, and it is quick, and it is powerful, right? We realize that. We understand those things. And if he tells us this is powerful, and we realize that his by the power of his resurrection is there as well, we can say, look, I can do this. I can go through this. And as he's talking about, he's saying, look, as our outward man perishes, look, what is going to happen? My inward man, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What does that mean? Every single day, you have got to be thinking about the fact you serve a living Savior, that the tomb is empty, not just on Resurrection Sunday, in April or March or wherever it falls. But every day. That's how you begin to change the thinking process. Romans 12. That's how it works. The certainty of this resurrection gives us the ability to endure right now. You know, it takes and it makes something totally different. When you think about the sufferings right now, what does it do? It makes it very clear that it's temporary. It makes it clear it's temporary. And what do we wind up seeing? We see very clearly that as it's being temporary, we realize that there's a purpose behind it. We realize that we're going to have to go through some things. But in the end, you know, as he's talking about, this is all for you. This is all we're trying to do is to get you to understand some things of the grace of God. Going through all of that difficult stuff, it takes and it reframes how we look at it, how we think about it. And you know what it does? It stabilizes us during that time. Because sometimes when we go through that stuff, what are we? We're like that little inflatable guy at the car dealership, flopping all over the place. I mean, 1 minute we're this and 1 minute we're that. 1 minute we're on our face. 1 minute we were praising Jesus with our hands held high. And the next minute we're flat on the ground again.
Yeah.
What sustains us is that continual thought of the resurrection and the power that's there. The next thing that we see about the resurrection, if you turn to Romans chapter 8, is the resurrection secures Christ's ongoing intercession. It secures Christ's ongoing intercession. Notice in verse 34 of Romans chapter 8, it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Well, what is he getting at? Go to verse 33. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." I don't have time to get into the justification part of this, but when you get the accuser, who is the devil, and he starts pointing the bony finger, and he starts saying, "Look at what he just did," I mean, what do you have? You have a risen, living Savior that stands there and makes intercession for you. Amen. Do you ever think about that? Did you ever think about how that works? Did you ever think about that he, as he says right here, "It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, maketh intercession for us"? If he did not rise, there would be no one there to intercede. We would have no counselor. We would have no advocate. We would have no mediator. You ever watch a court case where the person is I'm going to be careful here, dumb enough to represent themselves? I'm just going to give you a word of advice. Don't. You're like, you may think that you know. Don't. Just don't. There are very rare cases where, yes, it has been successful, but just please understand, they are there for a reason. And I know we call them blood-sucking lawyers and stuff like that because of the money they take, but if you understood the background of what they have to do in order to represent you, there's a reason. But Jesus Christ willingly did that for us. Doesn't take any payment for it. What does he do? He intercedes on our behalf. Well, what does that mean? It means that here we have, obviously a risen Savior, a risen Jesus Christ that is actively advocating for the believer. He is not just sitting there on the throne drumming his thumbs or fingers, waiting for us, waiting for the time. He is actively interceding. He's active. That what's again makes him that lively hope. And what does this do? This provides strength in failure and weakness. The living Savior means that the believer is never alone when he goes through spiritual struggles. It means that we have an ongoing divine help for us. Sometimes we don't think we can get victory over a sin. Sometimes we think the sin is too great to get victory. Many times people with addictions talk about stuff like that. But I just want to be clear here. Look, let's just get a show of hands. We can do a time of testimony, amen? Is that okay? How many of us have sinned after we got saved? Oh, amen, praise God. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, please come see me afterwards. We got some things to go over. But what I'm getting at here is we do that, don't we?
Yes.
Look, Jesus Christ is actively interceding on our behalf. And he's saying, look, yes, we know this. It is forgiven. And here's how we're going to handle it. And here's how the repentance is going to work. And here's how the correction is going to work. Here's how all of this is going to work. And he's actively advocating on our behalf. He's actively there interceding. When we do sin. When we do sin. And you know what? There's that strength that is in the weakness. There's a strength that is in the weakness, and that strength is in understanding that it is Jesus Christ who is risen. I want you to think about this just for a moment. When you fall, When you fall, when I fall, you're not abandoned.
Right.
You're not abandoned. We have an intercessor that loves us, because this is what he's talking about in this passage. We may fall and everyone abandons us. We may lose all our family, we may lose all our friends, we may lose all of our relationships. But we'll never lose this one, amen?
Amen.
They may not do the right thing with forgiveness. They may not do the right thing with restoration. That's on them. But you understand that right now, if you were to fall, he is still there with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. The fifth thing I want us to see is found in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You know, today, we come to worship, understanding the power of the resurrection, understanding that Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. We come to celebrate, to praise God for it. Even when you go back and you begin to realize what 1 Peter 1, 3 says, it talks about, you know, a blessing. The blessed be the name of the Lord. What does it mean? That when you think about the resurrection, it should naturally produce praise in your life. It should naturally produce praise. That's why you should be thinking about it frequently. But you take a look here in this passage in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 10, it says this. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Well, what is he talking about here? We've talked about this passage before. But here he is, he's saying, look, I need to understand that I am dead to the things of sin, but I am alive in Jesus Christ. I am alive in him. I'm not just some dead thing floating around. I have a newness of life. And what does it say here? One of the key things that we should focus on, the things that we should study, the things that we should desire to know and meditate on, is the resurrection, that I may know him. Look, how many of us can say we know all of God? Oh, good, nobody raised their hands. But what? We want to know him more. You should want to know him more every single day. You should want to know more about him. You should take a look and say, well, what is the Lord doing for me today? What is the Lord? Don't go around life just completely oblivious. You're supposed to walk circumspectly. Being circumspect means that you're looking for and watching and at seeing how God works in your life in every single instance. Not just when you remember. But also the power of his resurrection. Just sit down and I would say study that, meditate on it, think about it. Think about all of the things that are contained therein about his resurrection. We've just talked about a few of them here. But one of the things that we see about what the resurrection does is the resurrection anchors our confidence and courage in God. Not in anything else. Look, your confidence is a weird thing. When your confidence is in yourself, we call that pride.
Right.
When your courage is based off of what you think you can do, we call that bravery. But real, genuine courage, when you study it from the Word of God, is because you listened and obeyed the Word of God. When you study out what confidence is, it's when you study out and say, well, I don't have confidence in men, I don't have confidence in princes, but I can have confidence in God. Why? Because he's never lied. Because he is truth. Because he's holy and he's righteous. Because he saved my worthless soul. Because he gave me a new life in him because of the power of his resurrection. It anchors my thought process. I understand the death of Jesus Christ is important. It is, and I'm not diminishing that. But I think too often we don't think about what happened afterwards. Yes, it is his shed blood that saved us. But the shed blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, wouldn't be precious if he didn't resurrect. Because a dead Savior gives us no living hope, no lively hope, no hope at all. Knowing Christ includes knowing the power of his resurrection. It produces a boldness and a perseverance. It produces something in our life that as it's been said, we don't live our life in the shadow of a cross. We live our life in the shadow of an empty tomb. The resurrection power is what enables the believer to endure those things, to endure the difficulties we go through this life, to endure all of that. And what this does is it actually means that we can face things in this life, that we can face the difficulties, that we can face the trials, that we can face the troubles, that we can face the difficulties and struggles of sin. We can face all of that. Why? Because our courage is anchored and it already is secured because he is risen. If there was no resurrection, we wouldn't have that. If there was no resurrection, we'd be just left with nothing. And I want us to think about this. The resurrection does this for us daily, day by day. It renews us day by day, when we think about that newness of life. We have the power to live differently because of the resurrection. Romans 6. We possess a lively, sustaining hope according to 1 Peter chapter 1. We have that ability to endure suffering without fainting, according to 2 Corinthians 4. We have an advocate, an intercessor that's there with us, and we're continually represented before God by him. And we're never abandoned because of what we see in Romans 8. And here we are living with a life of courage and confidence because the thought is knowing his resurrection in our life. Look, our mind is often filled with so many things that we don't give time and opportunity to the Lord to think about this. We've got work, we've got obligations, we've got family, we've got this, we've got that, we've got all sorts of stuff. And I get that. But our mindset should be throughout the day, remembering this. You know, as I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking about it this morning and thinking about even me. I don't think I think about the resurrection enough. I don't think many Christians do. I mean, we understand it for salvation, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? But the gospel doesn't just stop there for our life. The gospel is the continual, if you will, good news of you now have a hope. You don't have to live like a sinner.
Right.
You don't have to live in sin. You're not relegated to it. You were set free.
Amen.
You are set at liberty. Why? Because sin no longer has dominion. The only reason sin has dominion is because we let it back in.
Yes.
And we allow it to build a stronghold in our life. But what I know is that if I sit there and I focus on, hey, Jesus Christ resurrected, He can blow that stronghold to bits.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with this in my life. Well, I know that because Jesus Christ resurrected and there's power with that, there's power to help me. I know that what time I have fear and anxiety creep up in my life that I don't use correctly for the Lord and it dominates me, I can get freedom from that by thinking about what Jesus Christ has done with the empty tomb. These are five things that are just simple. Just a simple thought process for our daily life. I challenge you. This week, focus on the resurrection. Well, what do I do next week? Focus on the resurrection. Well, what do I do on June 3rd, 2032? Focus on the resurrection. Praise God, we serve a living Savior.
Amen.
Praise God, He's continually there for us and has given us what we need to live this Christian life according to Him, according to His will, according to His design, according to that new life in Him. Let's stand for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed, I want us to contemplate this. Do we have that thought process right now? I know it's something that I have to work on. I know it's something that I had to work on when I was younger and I still have to work on today. And that means that it is a purposed thing, that it is not just something that I just think I can flip a switch and there I go. But it is a distinct, purposed thought in my life to think about that living hope that is in Jesus Christ. Believer, if you're struggling with that today, how about we just get it taken care of right now? You can come to this altar, you can pray, and Lord, say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me understand it. Lord, help me to focus more on You and that power of the resurrection. And Lord, how I can have that type of power from you in my life. We're not unplugged. We're not powerless. We have all riches and power of the glory of Christ. We can use it to glorify Him and to serve Him. Even if you have to do it in your seat, just pray. Lord, help me get a hold of your resurrection. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for the time. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you have done for us. I thank you for the resurrection. Lord, I thank you for how it can shape us and how it molds us. But Lord, I pray that you'd work in each of our hearts, that humbly, Lord, we'd submit, and that we would be renewed day by day, knowing that it is by your power we serve the risen Savior. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you have done. This I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.